This is Jody Peterson with the KVNF Regional Newscast. A group in Grand Junction working towards racial equality hopes any progress made there can be taken on the road. KVNF's John King has the story.
The group is called Right and Wrong, RAW for short. It was created after the death of George Floyd and has made tremendous progress since.
I was honestly pleasantly surprised with just the support. We didn't think that the community necessarily would support us so fast and so strongly.
Tony Clark is a co-founder of RAW. The group has already accomplished its three main goals: better anti-racism training for the police department and school system, and the creation of a task force to address issues for marginalized communities.
We've seen plenty of movements like this that have a lot of hype and whatnot, but it is just like lip service or band-aids over the problem. Our goal is to make real change, and we feel like we're slowly but surely doing that.
Clark says there has been tremendous support, but also the flip side of that.
The day that we met with D51 and came up with a plan of action for what we're going to do with them, we had a victory march, so to speak, up to the school board meeting. There was a lady there. She took pictures of us, posted it on Facebook. She said that we were Antifa and we were there to intimidate people. Once I got wind of it, I obviously went and checked the comments, and the comments were pretty insane. It's all locked and loaded. The fire of Grand Junction is going to rain down upon them. So, I mean, there's definitely some pushback, but that's not anything that we didn't expect in a really conservative town.
Clark says there are those who will not change. His group's effort is aimed at those who may.
The key to this is re-educating the kids, and it's going to take time for these kids to grow up, but I think that's where it starts at. You know, a lot of adults are set in their ways, so it's going to take time, but it's not anything that, like, we're not prepared for. You know, I plan to do this the rest of my life.
And Clark says what works here will work elsewhere.
When we feel like this community is where it could and needs to be, go to other communities, give them the game plan on how we executed it here, and then hopefully they can follow and, make those same changes. If we can fix things here in a really conservative town, I don't see why we can't anywhere else in the country.
Clark says RAW is now reaching out to the area's Hispanic community to help further express the message of equality and inclusion. For KVNF News, John King, Grand Junction.
As COVID-19 resurges across the Mountain West, there's also a different kind of surge happening. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Nate Hedgie explains, vacation rental bookings are way up compared to this time last year.
Chris Kohler owns two short-term vacation rentals in Tetonia, Idaho.
So we rent out our downstairs. We also have a tiny home that's on the property as well, too. So I run those two that are ours that we own.
He says bookings are booming right now, despite the resurgence of coronavirus in much of the Mountain West. Vacation rental bookings are up by nearly 50% in Idaho. That's according to data from the tracking firm AirDNA. Meanwhile, Wyoming boasts an almost two-fold increase. At the same time, those states are also seeing some of the highest numbers of new coronavirus cases since the pandemic first impacted the region. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Nate Hedgie.
Here in Colorado, vacation rental bookings are up 30% compared to this time last year. Use it or lose it. That saying is at the heart of how water is managed in the western U.S. Laws that govern water incentivize users to always take their full share from rivers and streams, or risk the state taking it from them. Each state in the West follows this rule. KUNC reporter Luke Runyon has more on Colorado's once-a-decade document that lists the people who could lose it.
Rob Pierce is a water lawyer on Colorado's Western Slope. He says there's one thing his clients are always asking him about.
The whole concept of abandonment.
And it especially comes up right before the state releases its abandonment list.
It gets mentioned all the time.
It's compiled every 10 years, and it details all the water rights no longer being used to irrigate crops or flow through city plumbing systems. Because the stakes are so high, Pierce says there's intense interest leading up to its release.
Yeah, no, it does feel like a little bit like the Old West. I mean, there aren't many things these days where you can have a property right in something and lose it like this.
The idea is rooted in Western water law. People get water rights based on their ability to put it to, quote, beneficial use. Not using them, then you lose them. Simple as that.
I don't want to call it the boogeyman because that suggests that there's not actually a threat, but it's it's something that I think the threat looms larger maybe than it actually is in many people's minds.
It's not as easy as use it or lose it makes it sound, I think.
That's Kara Godby here. She's a water attorney on the state's Front Range.
That terminology is maybe a little inflammatory or misleading because it's not as though without you realizing it, your water right would just slip out of your hands.
It's actually pretty difficult to lose it. First, you have to stop using the water for a long time. She points out abandonment lists come out once in a decade. And even more importantly, she says, you have to intend to abandon it. It can't just be an accident.
It's not as though it just sort of disappears one day and somebody's left wondering, where did my water go?
More than 2,700 individual water rights were listed as abandoned on the 2010 list. The vast majority were from farms and ranches. Agriculture uses about 80% of all available water in the state. Kevin Ryan is the Colorado State Engineer. He oversees the process of creating the list.
The idea of abandonment is really to the general benefit of water users in the particular basin.
What Ryan means is that it's important to clean up the books every now and then. Without abandonment, you could have a situation where someone with really old water rights that hadn't been using them all of a sudden starts using them again. And that could upend how a whole water system functions, leaving some users short.
So if you're not using it, you should not be able to hold on to it, keep it for some other day if you don't have a plan to use it.
But the whole use it or lose it concept also gives water users some perverse incentives.
Most valuable thing that people have, I mean, on a, you know, farm or ranch is the water right.
Jenny Arndt is a state representative in northern Colorado. In general, the more water you have rights to, the more money it's worth. So why would you ever want to conserve it? Arndt introduced a bill this year that would have allowed farmers to use their water more efficiently through a state-sanctioned conservation program and avoid having their water rights listed as abandoned for a period of time.
But it's to help farmers and ranchers realize the value of their water right without necessarily having to sell.
Arndt ended up pulling her bill after some farm groups brought up concerns about it. She's hoping to work on the idea this summer and bring it back during the next legislative session.
We need to design our laws and policies so that we can meet our water short future. And that's a real deal.
And Arndt says, as Colorado and the West continue to dry out, something will have to give. And we might just have to challenge some of those foundational ideas in Western water law, like the abandonment list. I'm Luke Runyon.
And that concludes the KVNF Regional Newscast. Thanks for listening.